Hogs Half Hour. I can't think anything that rhymes with husky. So I'm on the radio and not on the bus.
Well, sometimes when I'm with a guy, I wish they'd tie me up with red licorice ropes and then spank me, and then he'd eat the rope, and then he'd free me, and then we'd make love while the Philharmonic played Bolero, and then
we'd listen to Hosk's Half Hour.
Don't know, tires I'm not a big fan of, because they're high with the squidginess factor. They've hit very high on the squidgeometer. That squidginess of them is just, it's evil. You can't trust them. I wouldn't trust a tomato. I wouldn't trust anyone that squidgy. Tomatoes, fat people, very squidgy. I don't trust them.
Professor, I know something has happened, but have you ever seen
comedy quite as funny as this before?
No, not yet.
Hello, listeners! This is Mark A. Smith. Today, I went to my local store and bought a sherbet dip dab. When I opened the tantalizing piece of confectionery, there was no dab in my dip. Or whatever, the dab. There was just sherbet, but no dab. This made me very angry and very grumpy. So I went to the man and said, "Hey man, where's my dab?" He said, "You have a dab, but you have no dip." I said, "Hey you, don't you get funny with me, you cockatoo. You come down here and try and rip off us hard-working northerners." And he said he would not give me my money back because I had already tasted the merchandise. I said I would never forget this day when the southern man came down and stole our dips and dabs and ruined a lovely day for the poor hard-working northern man. I then stormed out of the shop and sacked my band, and that made me feel a whole lot better! Goodbye! Till next week!
Fritz, get up, for God's sake, get up! They've killed Fritz! They've killed Fritz! Those lousy, stinking yellow fairies! Those horrible and chocolatey-filled vermin! Those despicable animal warmongers! They've killed Fritz!
Will you just calm down and listen to this next news nugget?
News nugget! 104-year-old sprinter. I don't know really quite how you can call a 104-year-old person a sprinter. Old people don't sprint. They kind of amble, stroll, slowly move up the street as if like a statue. But you'd never call him a sprinter. But he set a new world record. What a load of cat goes. What do you mean a new world record? What, new world record for sprinters aged 104? That's a stupid record to have. He finished the 100-meter race in 30.86 seconds. Okay, 5 seconds of his previous best. Wow. There you go. Quite why people are hanging around timing an old man run off 100-meter strip is quite beyond me, really. I mean, usually when people get old, they don't care for such things of wasting your time running up a 100-meter little stretch. Like my dad, the commander, says everything is just stupid. What a waste of time. What are you doing that for? Why are you going for a jog? That won't get you anything. Everything has no value when you get old, so 100-meter sprinting surely would... why don't they do more kind of events more suited to the older fellow? Like fastest sit on the couch and fall asleep. I mean, there'd definitely be 30 seconds in that. You know, quickest war story. Or maybe, they'd probably do that the reverse. You get more points for longest war story, and the more boring it was, the more points you get. Many events, number of times granny, grandma, granddad says, "I don't like these new fiddly coins," in 1 hour. Yeah, these are more suited to old fellows than sprinting 100 metres. And who gives a monkeys how fast you can sprint 100 metres? You know, do you go over and, "Oh, what's your 100 metre sprint score?" "Yeah, it's 15 seconds yourself." "Oh, I'm a 17 man." "All right, well done. Perhaps we can go and have a little practice, reduce it by a second." "Yeah, I don't think so, actually. I'd just rather go down to the pub or something like that." "Hey, perhaps I'll do it. If it's a computer game, I'd then practice. Less effort."
Here I come to save the day. That means
a story
is on the way.
Alright, check this out for fucking cruelness. I went in the sandwich shop today and asked for a ham salad sandwich without the... without the tomatoes. So what do you think the woman gave me? Sam's tomato sandwich. Almost. Sam bloody hell. She gave me a ham salad sandwich with extra tomatoes. What bastard. I mean, come on. It's just being cruel. I'm sure it's because I'm not local. She thought, I'll show him with his out-of-town ways from the big smoke of Ipswich. Bloody hell, have him. Take this. Have extra bloody tomatoes, eh? Not so big now, are you? I ate them, but... don't know, like, tomatoes I'm not a big fan of, because they're high with the squidginess factor. They've hit very high on the squidgometer. That squidginess of them is just... it's evil. You can't trust them. I wouldn't trust a tomato. I wouldn't trust anyone that squidgy. Tomatoes, fat people, very squidgy. Don't trust them.
The bell tolls for some stand-up comedy.
Alright, here's a news nugget. Good one, about farting. I obviously probably get a theme. If it's knobs, tits, farting, any juvenile stuff like that. Don't like knobs that much. Not in that way, alright? It's easy. Come on, step back. Don't get a line here. Don't make me bust a move on you. Flatulence ban for club pensioner. A social club in Devon has banned a 17-year-old man from breaking wind whilst indoors. Now, see, I never knew you could ban people from farting. I'd bloody ban everyone apart from me. Morris the Fox received a letter. He must have laughed when he read this, which said it asked him to consider his actions, which disgusted members. Oh, now, well, he's been a member for 20 years. I'm happy to oblige, though. It's no problem. I do get a bit windy. I'm an old fart now. Well, yes, indeed. You'd think, you know, you've lived 77 years. You think you could have a little fart, and that'd be all right. Although, you know, some old people, they haven't got full control. A fart can develop into something more substantial, meaty. He now says he has to leave the club throughout three times a night. It's pretty regular. The formality of it all is a bit fucking funny. They wrote him a letter saying, after several complaints regarding your continual breaking of wind, in brackets, farting, whilst in the club, would you please consider your actions, which are considered disgusting to fellow members and visitors? Piss off. Go on, lad. You break wind, son. Get in there. Cup it in the face. Go on, do that. Find out who wrote the letter, and cup it right in the eyeballs. The letter goes on, you sit close to the front door, would you please go outside when required? So please take heed of this request. Ooh, or what? What's going to happen? Although, he's used the classic defence of smelly windbreakers all around the world. I think someone complained about the noise. I'm a loud farter, but there is no smell. Yeah, bullshit, grandad. Old people's farts always smell. That's a law. That's a rule. Don't... try giving me the old, it's a loud one, it won't smell. Yeah, right. Come off it, dirty dog. I obviously enjoy a good fart. Doesn't everyone? I mean, it is probably one of the funniest things you can do. But what makes it better is that you release the gas, and it just makes you laugh. And it makes you laugh is because everyone else finds it so disgusting. That's the real winner. And farts are especially good. They grow in value if you have a girlfriend. It's their disgust that really drives you on to kind of pump out a loud... I mean, I like to do the morning trumpet in the morning, and it's the kind of disgusted look on my girlfriend's face that really makes it worthwhile. You know, because if I did that, I didn't have a girlfriend, it would be like, I might have a little chuckle, but it wouldn't be as satisfying as when the other person's so disgusting. Oh, you dirty pig! Now that is the real winner. Of course, people have fart characteristics, which I like to drop a silent bomb and then just retreat a little bit and then wait for the bomb to have impact and ignite. Well, not actually ignite, but just, you know, go off and then watch the chaos. I mean, and when you do a really good one, it is awesome. I mean, if you drop a silent one, which is full of potent fart smell power, then it actually hits people. Like, they get hit by the fog of the fart, and for a minute, they're almost blinded. They're, like, stumbling around. Ah! Ah! My eyes! Ah! And they're stumbling around. They don't know, because it's invisible, they don't know which way is escape, how to escape. They're there, stumbling around. Oh, and then there you are, giggling like a little schoolboy. Beautiful. I do have a theory about farts. Maybe you guessed. I have a theory about a lot of things. But I believe there is fart energy. And this energy is either used up in the smell or in the noise. Okay. If you use it in the noise, then there's no energy left to go into the smell, really. That's what I think. It's a radical theory, I know, but I'm sure you will find it somewhere in the Bible. Jesus does mention farting. Anyway, just think about it. You know, if you do a loud ripper, does it smell? No. But if that baby's silent, I mean, it is the old schoolboy rhyme, loud and proud, silent but violent. Although, bizarrely, in my house, we call it silent but deadly. Well, that's obviously a kind of thumbs up to the assassins and ninjas. I don't believe they ever used farts in their profession. But, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. They're skilled killing machines.
Stand by to check interior radiation.
Hold it, look!
Oh my God, Husk's off hours on!
The hell with radiation, let's go!
Alas, the drunken philosopher! Ha ha ha! The other day, I was in a pub. Well, I am a bloody drunken philosopher, you know. And I was I was bloody singing MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This. You can't touch this. Or something, I can't remember. And the landlord, bloody, said, "Shut up!" I said, "No, you shut up." And he said, "I'm not bloody saying anything." And I said, "Good. Then if you do, I'll bloody bash you. Bloody bash you! Right back him!" And he said, "Right, bloody it. Get out." And I said, "You can't tell me to get out. I'm bloody leaving." And he had bloody ginger. His ginger's hair was all ginger. And I said, "Bloody gingers, like little bloody ginger Hitler, selling beef drinkers to get out of your pub. Who do you think you are?" And he said, "I'm the landlord." Oh, I said, "I'm the bloody customer, and I'm always bloody right. And you can't chuck me out because I'm leaving, ma." And then I ran away. He was the bloody stupid one because it was home time anyway.
A group of mining engineers were prospecting for copper. What they unearthed was a story. A story that was to terrorize the whole world.
It was a Husk story.
Just been speaking to my girlfriend, or should I say, Madame Whiplash. No, not that kind of whiplash. I'm talking of the car whiplash. When you have an accident. Yeah, she had a spin on the motorway and actually got them to close it for a bit, which is quite an achievement, I think. The interesting thing about this is that now she's got some whiplash looking into suing herself for a personal claim. How weird is that? I mean, I can just imagine it in the court, calling yourself up, the defendant will call you, and then the prosecution. Is the person who spun the car in this room?
Yes.
Please point them out.
Here's me.
And then you'd say something like, she was out of control. And then yourself, you'd go, "No, I wasn't. How dare you say that? She's lying. Objection." It could be wicked. And it'd be nice to see in the court. And then at the end, how would you do? One would be, you'd be crying and laughing and celebrating at the same time. Split with joy. You don't know how that'd work, would you, eh? Well, that's the world we live in these days. They'll sue anyone and anything, even yourself. Hey, they'd never sue yourself in my day. Oh, no. You wouldn't even have a bad word to say about yourself, let alone accuse yourself of bad driving and causing injury to yourself. Surely you'd just go, "Well, you're a stupid idiot then. I'm not giving you anything." What do you mean, suing yourself? But you did it. Well, who do you want to blame here? You. For some reason, I've got this song in my mind. Gummy bears, they're bouncing here and there and everywhere. And how did it get in there? What's it doing in there? Eh? Bloody gummy bears in my mind. Bouncing here, there and everywhere. 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 Everywhere.
Wow! Wow!
Woo! Woo! It's something you weren't expecting.
The Husk of a Thousand Voices alert.
Alright, Bill, how's it going, my son, eh? Lovely jubbly. Did I tell you about my new 42 inches of joy?
42 inches of goodness sake. Oh my God, you've gone bloody mad, lad. You've gone and swapped your little todger for a horse's cock. You're never going to get any lass to sit on that, are you, lad?
What the fucking hell are you bloody going on about? What the fucking hell are you going on about? I brought a new flat screen TV, you plonker. I mean, real people don't get a bloody penis extension. Is there even such a thing?
I don't know, lad. What are you asking me for? I don't know how those emails get sent to me. I've told you. It's spam. Anyway, I'm very happy with the size of my penis. Length and girth, I'll thank you. I'll have you know. I've never had any complaints.
Well, if someone actually fucking complained, you must be doing something really wrong.
Yeah, no lass has ever complained about me or my penis.
Well, who did they complain to then? Your mother?
What? Shut up, you daft apeth. 42 inches, lad. Ooh, that's an impressive one. That's exactly 7 times the size of me knob.
Ah, for God's sake, I did not want to know that your knob is that size. All right?
Yeah. So when you're watching TV, you can just imagine 7 of me knobs sitting across the screen.
I am not fucking imagining that. That is odd. That is perverse, you sicko. Why would you tell me that your knob is 7 inches long, for God's sake? Hey?
Hey, I'm not ashamed of the size of me knob.
Yeah, well, fucking good. Because saying things like that means that you're a bit unsure about it, my son. Firstly, it means that you have measured your knob. And secondly, I now have the horrible image of you naked with a fucking ruler and your little man, wondering about where the fuck to start measuring from.
Well, this is a contentious subject.
Fucking...
Well, this is a contentious subject, man. Someone down the pub might be measuring from his balls as well, giving him an extra inch. It's not fair. Women should have a standard, so when a man says his knob is 7 inches long, she knows where he's measured it from. In fact, I'm going to write a letter to the EU to say there should be standards, just like they did with the bendy bananas, and some were too curved. Although, how would you measure a curved penis? It's quite beyond me. Luckily, I'll never know.
Bloody hell. To be honest, mate, I could do without knowing the dimensions of you or anyone else's penis. Manhood. Love truncheon. Anyway, it's not the size that matters, is it, my son? It's what you do with it.
Yeah, you're right there, lad. Although, that's what people with small penises always say.
Hey, what are you talking about there, sunshine? Hey, mine isn't small. It is standard size, I'll have you know. And it's not bloody small enough for me to start measuring it, if you know what I mean.
Well, hey, maybe it is, lad. I'm just saying that people with small cocks always say they don't measure it. And that you shouldn't, because they've got something very small to hide.
Well, alright, fuck, you want to push my hand? You want to force it? It's 7.5 fucking inches then, alright? Fucking 1/2 inch bigger than your little tiddler.
Eee, come on now, lad, eh? I bet you've stolen that 1/2 inch, haven't you? Was it the balls?
Whoa. I didn't measure no fucking ball, sunshine. Hey, I measured it from the normal spot, the standard spot which everyone measures it from.
Hey, lad, come on now, enough of this penis talk. Let's go on to something else. So how big is yours, really?
I just fucking told you. I thought we weren't going to talk about this anymore.
No, your TV, you bulldog.
Oh, it's fucking... It's 42 inches, mate. How big's yours?
Oh, mine's just a mere 32 inches. The same as my TV.
Well, it's not bad, I suppose, you know, but some people say bigger is better.
But they say it's not the size that matters, but the size of the room you put it in, lad.
Are we still talking about TVs? Are we back onto penises again?
Yes, although that is an interesting point, lad. All this talk about penis size, no one ever talks about the size of the woman's vagina.
That's where the women have got the upper hand, haven't they? Because you can't measure a fanny, can you? I mean, how would you, you know... You can go width or depth, you know, it's all a bit... Where do you measure it from, eh?
Ah, indeed. And also, every time you do try and measure it, the girl usually complains.
Jesus Christ, what do you mean? What do you use to measure it? A ruler?
No, I was going more down the liquid route, lad. Like, if I tipped a pint in, then you'd know the volume of your lady.
Man, that is fucked up. You see, how come you have still got a wife, whereas I haven't? What's going on there?
Well, it's easy. It's because I've got a massive cock. Isn't that right, Tiny? And I don't need to buy big whopping TV to make up for me little penis. So how come you've bought a new TV anyway?
Well, I've got some fucking extra money, ain't I? Since the divorce came through.
Gentlemen, this is...
The Hoskinator!
He's a multi-capable masterpiece. He can squeeze the colour from a ruby or deftly pluck the eye from a living bird. And he's been programmed to enjoy what he does.
Oh, man. It is ridiculous. Having to do both voices is impossible. Probably a lot of you listeners out there don't realise it's me doing both voices. Apart from this episode, pretty much the same. Oh dear. Sometimes reading my scripting make me laugh. Not because of what's written down, but just because of me doing it. It's such hard work. Oh, how many hours friends with Rory Bremner? Big piece of cake. Apart from he's a wanker, of course. That's how I'd hate to be friends with Rory Bremner, Alison McGowan, because all the time they'd be doing voices. You'd go, oh, just fuck off, will you? Stop it. I don't want to hear Tony Blair again. You can stick your Michael Caine up your ass. I'm not interested. I don't care what David Beckham says when he's actually David Beckham. You doing a crap impression of him, I care even less for, all right? So piss off, Bremner. Go on. Oh, what's that? What? You're all political figures. That's even more boring. People don't listen to what they say anyway, let alone you doing a crap impression of them. Get out. Go on. I'll stick to my own impressions, thank you very much.
The elephant says, here's a news nugget.
News nugget. World's longest ear hair. Engrosser has tufts of hair sprouting to an incredible 5.2 inches at their longest point, at their zenith. Together, his ear tufts measure almost 9.8 inches, long enough for two small ponytails. How do you know what the average length is for a ponytail? But to me, though, this is one of those world records where I don't put it down to skill. It's just, natural. It's your genes. You know, some people are born, they can run fast, or they're tall, they can play basketball, you know, and that's just their natural genes. So no matter how much you train, you probably wouldn't be able to run faster than this bloke. Or, in this case, no matter how much you trained your ear muscles, you'd probably never be able to outgrow his hair, his ear hairs. And so you just think, well, it's not a game of skill, is it? That's just, he was just born with these strong ear hair growing muscles, and we can't compete. Not like the world record for being pushed in a pram or sitting up on top of a flagpole. There's a bit of skill there. Sitting up at a flagpole, skill, determination. He's just got long ear hairs. He hasn't shaved. I like this little comment though. Mr. Badgepie, which I'm sure you don't pronounce it like that, but I will, said he wished people would take him more seriously. You know, he'd wish people would take him more seriously. Dude, how can we take anything seriously when you've got 5 inches of bloody ear tuft coming out of your bloody head? There's no seriousness coming from someone like that. You will not get any serious thoughts or anything like that until you shave your goddamn ears, you freak. He says, or he goes on to say a bit later on, this is a great day. Being in the Guinness Book of Records is a great honour, and this is a great day for my family. Whew, I bet they are mighty proud of him and his magnificent ear tufts. They must be really proud of that. Then he also says, I thank God for this great day. I just thought, jeepers, thank God, I'd be cursing him. What the hell is this stuff growing out my ear, you bastard up there? Hey, goodness sake. He thanks God for being blessed. Now, he must think that God must have thought, oh, I like the look of this fella. I'm going to reward him. Here you go. Massive ear hairs. And your wife? Well, she can have really long nostril hairs of the big black variety. Yay, there you go. Wow, thanks. You are too... The words ambassador, you spoil me. They're coming to mind now when he's dishing out such fabulous gifts onto his undeserving minions. You know, he could have been, you can have a huge penis. Or you can run really fast, or you're great looking. Now, thanks God. Now, if that happened, you'd think, yeah, all right. But to be blessed with humongously long ear hairs, that is not so good for me. But I like the way he's making the most of it. He's taken that. A lot of people, that would knock them back, and they'd go, oh, life is tough. Hate you, God. But he's turned it round. His glass is half full of long ear hair in this case, but he's made it work for him. How he actually got a wife or family is quite amazing, though. What does he do with it? 5 inches? He could have a comb over with that. They could meet in the middle. Oh, there you go, eh?
Get ready to slurp down some more comedy, boy.
An insult that has been gone but not forgotten, I present to you Knob Cheese. Today, after hearing this, you should go and call someone a Knob Cheese, and then your train will be just docking into Laughter Central.
Ooh la la.
You made this comedy for me. Ooh, you shouldn't have.
A hoss story. The other day, whilst downstairs, I was near the visitor's book, and I thought it'd be humorous jape to put that Mr. W. Thorne had visited this bloke I sit near, Mr. Smith, the Russinator, because last year, golf charity thing, he got Mr. Thorne's signature. So then there were a lot of jokes about him being Willie Thorne's greatest fan. I thought, right, put it in. We'll say he visited him. That'd be quite funny. Okay, so the next day, Russitron gets the phone call from the reception.
Did a Mr. Willie Thorne visit you yesterday?
Willie Thorne was here?
For future reference, would you please sign out your visitors as well as signing them in?
Willie Thorne never visited me yesterday. I think this might be a joke. And then instantly, Hosking, they singled me out. See, that's just victimisation. It was me, but that they didn't know that. But they promised me to have a look at the life and times of Willie Thorne. So I had a look at Thorny. Thorny only won one ever ranking snooker tournament. The Classic, good name, in 1985. The same year he reached the UK Championship Final against the dominant Steve the Nugget Davis. And he seemed to build himself an unassailable lead. But a miss and a straightforward blue off its spot during the final frame of the final allowed Davis to take the frame and eventually the title. Thorne said he'd hardly looked at the blue considering it a certainty. Ah, poor Thorny. Hey, that blue was a thorn in his side. Thorny had a serious gambling problem. In one famous incident, he bet $38,000 on a match involving John Parrott, betting that Parrott would lose, as Parrott had lost his personal cue and had to be supplied with one by the venue. Much to Thorne's dismay, not least because he was commentating on the match, Parrott recovered from a slow start to win, only worsening Thorne's debts. He also admitted on another occasion that he bet $20,000 on one horse. Whew, well, that's some bet, isn't it, fucking hell. He fell into serious debt and depression and was forced to sell off his snooker club in Leicester to cover the huge loss at cards. Oh, here's a good one. Look, his bald head makes him instantly recognisable, and he's often referred to as the Homer Simpson of snooker. Thorne featured in the popular song Snooker Loopy, written and performed by Chas and Dave. In the verse begins, Willie Thorne, his hair's all gone. Hey, what a classic writing there. Willie's cameo line was, "Perhaps I ought to chalk it," in reference to his gleaming head putting off his opponents. He also appeared in the Romford Rap with the rest of the matchroom mob. Ironically, Willie wore a pink costume and not the blue one. Fascinating. People get this knowledge of rubbish snooker players. Here you go. He's known as Mr. Maximum because he has hit, according to Thorne himself, nearly 200 147 breaks in practice, but only one in tournament play. You know what, Thorny? Bullshit. So have I. I've had 300 147s. None in tournament play, though. I've never played a tournament, I suppose. That would help. It has been at the end of his personal life. He married Miss Great Britain winner Jill Saxby. He has three children. His oldest son, Kieran, is already showing the trademark Thorne bald gene. I bet he's really thanking his dad for that. Thanks for the trademark bald gene, Dad. You know, you could have had, like, massive cock gene, would have been more useful, or, I know, clever big brain gene. But, oh no, I get the balding big bulbous head gene. Thanks. And there's a great bit of just trivia at the end. His name is used in Cockney rhyming slang to denote pornography. Willie Thorne equals porn. That's a good bit of rhyming slang. I've never heard anyone use that. Whoa, downloaded some good Willie Thorne last night. See, that just sounds wrong. Have you got any good Willie Thorne? Because use that today. Get the Willie Thorne out there. His name sounds like some kind of porn to me, the Willie Thorne. So that's a sex move. Say, so, yeah, I did a Willie Thorne last night. Whoa. I leapt out of the... left out of the closet and gave her a Willie Thorne. She'd never forget. I flipped her over and gave her a Willie Thorne. She was surprised, but she enjoyed it. One thing I remember from seeing Willie Thorne was he is massively fat, but he had this suit on and he managed to tie it round. And I was just fearful that the button was going to ping off at any moment. So I was trying to position myself not to be in the target zone of that button. It thankfully stayed on, but... And he did wheel out a lot of very bad puns and jokes. I wonder how much he got paid for that. Too much. But he just gambled it away as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic.
There is some more comedy, which we will play if you...
Scream! Scream for your lives! Scream! Please!
tight deadline, and its astronauts are pushing hard to fit a new compartment in the International Space Station. You just think, oh, are they doing, you know, a new compartment? What's that, to put some extra pots and pans in? Well, they put a little shelf up as well, for goodness sake. Well, it's costing us millions of pounds, and they're just up there making new compartments. It says they're just going out for a 7-hour spacewalk, wiring up plumbing in the Harmony section. I mean, it just sounds... makes me laugh. They're into space, and they just go for a little spacewalk. Like, and I don't... You know, the astronauts sound a bit lazy. They're going for little space strolls, a spacewalk, and then perhaps have a little space nap after that. Don't work too hard, will you, you lot up there? You know? They're just mucking about in this gravity, zero gravity, spinning around. Whee! Look at me! Oh, I'm bored of this now. Should we go for a little walk? Yeah, go on then. It doesn't, they need to rename it. Something like a daring spacecycle, something like that. No, if they had renamed this, like the astronauts would be doing a 7-hour space stunt, life or death, yep, or some kind of space, or even they call it a space kick. It's like a thing of ninjas now. Space ninjas. Cool. Go. I've got it. If they called it, they need to perform some space surgery, you'd think, whoa, surgery is difficult. They must be doing something pretty cool up there. Not a space walk. That just sounds bloody Sunday afternoonish. In reality, they seem to be quite hard working up there. Well, if is to what's read is to be believed. With this particular crew on board, I don't know if holidays means anything to them. They're just a charging, get it done to crew. Get it done crew. Sound like they're a little band going, some rapping, and they could do some good dance moves in a zero gravity. I'll give them that. But I mean, you think, oh, well, that sounds impressive. But what else are they going to do up there in that little space shuttle station thing? I mean, they can't go out and visit anyone. They can't go out for a jog. They can just go for a spacewalk. And that's about it. They're trapped in a little caravan in space. What do you think they're going to do? They might as well work.
All right, Geezer, will you just cipher this, please? What is it? It's a bloody comedy, you slag.
Enter!
Ah, hello, Doctor.
Hello. Please have a seat. Not that one. The other one. That is the best seat. Saved for special occasions. Now then, what seems to be the problem?
Well, I just feel so depressed.
I'll be the judge of that, thank you very much. You just can't come to these conclusions with your guessing, your guesstimates. What are you going to do, X? Hey? Do you want to give some pills out to everyone? Because you've read it on the internet. I had to go to medical school, bucko. Years and years. Knowledge and hard work and sweat and tears. And only then can you tell people what illnesses they've got, okay?
Yes, sorry, Doctor. Sorry. Please, go ahead.
Only think what kind of job gives you the ability to tell if people are ill or not, eh? What do you do?
I'm a gynecologist.
Ah, I just bloody shook your hand, you bloody animal. Well, I hope you washed them, shoving your fingers up women's fannies all day. That's not a job. Goodness sake. Okay, tell me your symptoms again.
I'm just feeling depressed all the time, you know. Things are getting me down.
Right. Well, I think, then, that you are suffering from depression. And what I want you to do is every time you feel depressed, don't. Feel happy instead. Okay?
What? Can't just do that. If I was going to do that, I'd do that anyway.
Well, why haven't you then?
Oh, I can't. I just feel depressed.
Okay, what? Why are you depressed? Is it money? Are you poor? I can give you 20 quid. Hey, have a couple of drinks from old Docky here.
No, it's not money. I get a good job. I've got a great job, earning 40,000 a year, with a lovely car and a beautiful wife.
Well, what the hell are you bloody feeling depressed about then? Hey, there's people out there with nothing. People in Africa with flies landing on their face. They're so tired, lack of food. They won't even flick them away. Hey, that's depressing. Are you thinking about that?
No, I don't know what's wrong. I feel unfulfilled.
Un-for-bloody-filled? Well, go out there and fulfill yourself, then. What's your problem? What is it? Are you gay? Are you a bummer? Are you a bummer boy?
No, I love my wife. We have sex often. I don't know what it is, Doc.
Okay, what I'm gonna do is, every time you feel a bit depressed, go and have a wank.
What? I'm depressed all the time.
Well, there you go, then. You'll be wanking away, and all your depression worries will just spurt away.
Look, no, Doctor, please. I can't do that, Doctor. I'm a gynecologist. If I start getting me a todger out, they'll They'll arrest me for indecent exposure.
Well, I mean, if they're getting theirs out, why don't you get yours out? What's wrong with that old boy? Look, okay, look, what's depressing you? What is it? What happened? What do you think about?
Well, I always think about my mother. You know, we never got on, and she died before we could be friends.
Oh, for God's sake. She's dead. What do you want from her? I mean, did she commit suicide leaving a note saying it's all your fault?
No.
Well, there you go. There you go, then. Hey, what's your problem, big boy? Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. This hand is your mum. Tell her. Tell her what you think.
No, that's silly. That doesn't even look like my mum.
Well, of course it does. It's a bloody hand, you idiot. Okay, well, I'll put my sock on. Look, I'll take my sock off. I'll put it on the hand. There you go. Hello, I'm your mum. Tell me what your problems are.
Okay, look, Mum, I always felt that you liked the sister more than me.
No, I didn't. There you go. All better.
No, she wouldn't say that. Mum, look, that time I wet the bed and you shouted at me. I've always remembered that. Why? You threatened to put me up for adoption if I didn't stop wetting the bed. Why did you do that? I was your son.
Okay, sorry about that. All better. I didn't mean it. It was fine. All boys do that. There you go. Get on with your life now and stop being depressed.
Now, this isn't really helping, Doc. I think talking to your sock isn't doing much for me.
Oh, bloody hell. Okay, what we're going to do is you can take these pills and they'll make you feel better. Okay?
Okay, but what are they? These are just Smarties.
No, they're not. They're special pills. And every time you're a bit depressed, just have one and it'll all be better. Okay?
Okay, well,
go on, try one now. Have a blue one. They have extra antidepressants in. Go on, and you pop one in.
Oh, okay. Well, they're working, yes.
Okay, brilliant. Another case solved. See you later.
Where's that accent come from?
Yes, indeed, sir. You're
get
fucking
the fuck! Get the fuck!
Stop making me insult you. It's just like
stop forcing my hand.
Honestly,
stop fucking forcing my
God.
And here is the muck-ups.
Vagina.
Yeah, the balding, big bulbous head gene. And the next day, Russotron.
Good afternoon.
You stick your Michael Caine up your ass.
I don't know, I'm not interested.
On the new... I wouldn't trust a smarto. I wouldn't trust anyone that squidgy. Tomatoes, fat people, very squidgy. Magnificent ear tufts. Bloody joggers, they're like silent assassins. Especially when you're shouting into a little telephone-sized MP3 recorder.
42 inches, eh? That's pretty big, that. That's Newcastle. What's going on?
Vagina.
Fuck it.
Vagina.
Willie Thorne, his hair's all gone. Just as I was musing upon what are the benefits of having a hairy arse. Jesus Christ. That is Australian again. Jesus, that is fucked up. That is still Australian. Bloody hell. That is still Australian. Bloody hell. Still. Stop it, come on. Fucking hell, dude. That is fucked up. Magnificent ear tufts. But when I open the dam, fuck it.
I'm not
come on. Focus. Bloody hell, to be honest, mate, I could do with...
Damn you!
Come on now, what? That was there in front of every... If I get into the voice.
Vagina. Damn you!
I brought a new flat screen TV, you bloody idiot. That is Australian. What's it doing in there?
Oh dear, I fear. Fear for the muck-ups.
Willie Thorne, his hair's all gone. Been in the Guinness Book. Laugh. Fast windy as fuck.
Oh, but it's not the size of your TV that matters, but it's the size of the room you put it in.
Your mother. Your mother. Your mother.
vagina.
Damn you!
No one ever talks about the size of the woman's vagina. Vagina. Vagina.
And as you're a trivia buff, that's exactly 7 times.
Times.
Magnificent ear tufts.
Vagina.
And for your listening pleasure, here's Pop Talk. Talk, 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 talk.
Is that your dad, or was you? Or is that you?
That's around these big brummy standards shouting at me. I'm like, what, mate? And he goes, ooh, look like how I feel. Stop. I swear, now, mate, I'm just waiting. Turned away again. And I said, "Do you want to smoke, mate?" And I'm like, "No, mate, no way." So he wanders around and that's it. And then when he's pissed, obviously, and then when I come to his dad's eyes, he'll be able to walk in. And then he starts going, "No, no, 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 no." And I've just thought, shit, mate, I'm sorry from my dad, and he's standing right next to me, and I'm going, fuck, it was, impressive, mate.
Is this bummy that's like
it sounded like, it did sound like Ashley Taylor.
Seated!
Yeah, thought about that.
Yeah, you know, you can promise
all that. Whatever white is, so good.
We haven't seen him in his unusual haircut for a long time.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's too cool. No, it's not. It's not a big wave.
You were saying something because you're unusual hair. Mine's just long. It's like spiky yellow.
No, his is like somebody who's trying way too hard on film.
4 hours in front of the mirror, practicing white seated.
It's a mantra, it's every squad. What's he?
What's he? Sounds like a Bart Simpson haircut.
Yeah, it's one of those.
That's just yellow, isn't it? White
hair. It has a little pointy bit.
Yeah,
I'm thinking I'm his price too, because I don't remember his price.
Oh, yeah, but it was £4.55 apparently.
It's a book. It came round at 2 o'clock.
Oh, you didn't
see, you
say.
Just make it sound like it's just normal. The polyvalve came round yesterday. Yeah.
Pyman, is that some kind of
no.
Children's TV show?
Absolutely.
Come in, Pyman! Yeah, fine.
We had the fish
man. Yeah, but that wasn't a children's TV show.
Yeah, it's in common.
Pyman's show was that fashion.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, hang on. Yeah. There was a pie thing.
There was a...
That's because of the sums and pie and all that sort of
thing. So this is
yeah.
Well, you got me thinking now. I don't
I just remember it. Saying, but him saying testing some of his pie man. I think he was in some kind of spaceship, wasn't he?
Or Kids TV.
Little bugs in it.
Imaginary world.
That's what I was there.
Yeah,
to
be
I believe it was actually Tickle
Off
Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Wall.
Before
your
time.
No.
After your
time. Not before.
Jeff. Basis.
I know.
Jackie,
we've got a whole new set of abuse for you. I mean, he's an 80s child, and you're obviously a 90s child.
Neil's older than me.
Yeah. How's that work then?
Well, he was born before. That's a knee comment to make.
That's because we haven't run you
then. No. The white seated award goes to.
That really was a
costly moment.
I'm just taking over.
Stello.
Yesterday afternoon, yesterday morning.
Just going down. Sitting about
on top of the hospital, young bike waiting for my.
He wouldn't have to live here long.
Thank you.
Don't look a day over whatever your birthday is.
Yeah, I know, exactly.